Sunday there'll be no school, but Monday there'll be, instead of Sunday.
So Monday will be 1 o'clock. And then pretty much after that, hopefully, you know, regular schedule. So I gave you, do you ever send out those marmacomos that we... Okay, so let me just add a couple of things very quickly.
I think we only have two mistakes at them.
Yeah? Okay, so let me just add a little bit. The first thing we're going to do is discuss a little bit about the animus and avelus aspect. So, again, the Gemara Rashi Tosas al Atar and the Ritva, which I want to discuss a little bit already hopefully today. The Rambams I gave you, Aleph Aleph Beis. If you also get a chance to look on Aleph Aleph Beis on the Kesef Mishnah and Lecha Mishnah and Radvaz, Beis Vav and Radvaz. You know Aleph Kesef I gave?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And the Ramban and Torah Adam, I think you, the one and also in Moed Katan, Chafam and Aleph. In addition to that, I wanted to speak for a couple of minutes about, again, the Gemara Brachos that I gave, right? Yuzayin Ubeis, Yud Chesem and Aleph. Just also look at the Rashi and Tosos there about the Ptur Onein, you know, the mitzvos and the Kriya Shema, and the Ra'ah also there in Brachos, just quickly. Again, we'll try to do it quickly, but Basar B'Yayin, the Rush there in Brachos about Havdalah, and Yordea Simen Shin Mem Aleph. For some reason I didn't put down the Sif Katan, but you'll find it. The Taz and the Shach and the Kudus HaKesef and the Dagon Mervava. The question whether or not if a person is an Onein and he's Patur Me Mitzvos, right, what impact does that have, let's say, on, again, the Rosh discusses what impact it has on Havdalah. What impact does it have on Tfilas Tashlumin in terms of, you know, Tfilah? So I want to speak about that a little bit. And then the other two, the other Gemara I want to talk about a little bit is the Gemara in Sukkah, Chalteyom et Aleph, which is the Gemara here also in Ksuvis. The Gemara about Tirdas, about Osuk Mitzvah and Tirdas Mitzvah and Tirdas Rishus, so you can, doesn't matter which Gemara you read it in. The Gemara discusses, you know, a person who's on a boat, you know, Tavas Pinasa Bayam, you know, whether that's considered to be Tirda, you know, or not. And then the Gemara also discusses in the same context whether Avelus is considered to be Tirda or not. And Rashi, particularly, and that's, you know, you can read it here in Ksuvas or read it in Sukkah, but just the Rashi in Sukkah is a little more of an issue. Rashi in Sukkah, Chav Hei and Aleph, and the Rambam and Dovah's Kriya Shema, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph. Also, very quickly, the Gemara's discussion whether Avel is considered to be Mitzta'er, which is Patur min Sukkah. That's the Gemara in Sukkah, Chav Hei and Beis. Amra Rav Abba Bar Zavda, starts with how the Gemara starts, until Yisuve Daite. And just look at the Rashi and the Rosh there, and the Taz and Orachayim, Simin Tuf Resh Mem, Sif Hei, and Rabbeinu Manoach, and the Rambam, Hilchos Sukkah Vav Gimel. Again, this shouldn't take too long. I just, this is a, in connection with the problem of the relationship between Aninos and Avelus, and what exactly Avelus is all about. Okay, so that's in terms of that. In terms of the rest of it, probably we'll add a few things as we go on. I think I gave you some of the issues in terms of the rest of it to look up. Okay, we can leave it that for now. Tchias Avelus Darais Halidei Shivas Dimei Mishta. I think I gave you the Ramban on that. I gave you also the Ritva and the Ra'an Shit Mekubetes? Yeah. Okay. And Avelus Daraisa Drabanan, what did I give you for that?
More cut enough Yudalit instead of
Yudalit. What's that?
In Persian said Yudalit.
Oh, it should be Yudalit. Yudalit on the base. I'm sorry, just okay, and the Rambam Hilchos Avel, of course. The Rosh in Brachos Tezayin and Aleph. And I gave you about being Ola Laminion also, right? The Rosh, the Ran, the Ravid and the Rambam. Whether or not it's Ola Minyan Lamed. Right? Okay, good. So we'll leave it at that for now. And I don't want to get too bogged down with this in any case. Okay, so let's have somebody read for us quickly just to get through the start to identify some of the issues. And then we'll take it from there. Okay. Avram, you want to do the honors? Okay. Let's just get the Shakrabhataria in first, and then we'll... Okay, go ahead. So what's the Ibai Sema trying to respond to? Yeah, so the Gemara has a different possibilities. We discussed a part of it. Again, we didn't get the chance to do fully, certainly not the Shasa Shmad part of the Gemara, but we did touch about, we did touch on some of the basic issues there, right? So that part we did. And then the Gemara says, Ibai Sema, that maybe the reference to Ones is what?
So he's ready to go. He has everything prepared, and now one, either the father of the chasan or the mother of the chala. So he might be some mitzvah tayyeh, but the chasan is the chala chabah v'chabah. The boah bilas mitzvah. The porish. You know yeshiva simeh mishter. The achar kach no yeshiva simeh bilos. The chol osan ayamim who yashin bein ha'anashim. He yashna bein ha'anashim.
Yishena bein ha'anashim.
Bein ha'anashim. Ve'im yomim tashitim erakala kol shloshim yomim.
Yeah. So what is this all about? What's happened here? They're about to have this celebration, right? And everything is prepared, so it's hard to push it off. And then either the Avin Shalchasan or Ima Shalkala, both of whom are considered to be particularly indispensable for the, you know, for the certainly for the technical implementation of the wedding, right? Somebody dies, so Machnisan Esameis Lecheder. Even the phrase itself is a little bit chilling, but also very intriguing, right? It sounds as if there's a real clash here, there's a problem. It's almost like you know, the Gemara is speaking about a nicety, you know, meaning at minimum it highlights, of course, the clash on a pragmatic level and on a also possibly emotional and even halachically idealistic level between these two things, right? You can't have them both together, but maybe it's even more than that, right? Machnisin is a meis l'cheder has a connotation not just that you want the meis out of the way while you know proceed practically, emotionally, and even idealistically, but maybe even more than that, the phrase machnisin is a meis, you should wonder about this. Machnisin is a meis l'cheder is a way of saying that we need to neutralize the presence of a nes. It's not just that, you know, in trying to pull off, you know, this the wedding under these tragic, you know, and dire circumstances, these challenging emotional and halachic circumstances, you know, we need to, you know, have a singular focus. Possibly, maybe it's more than that. Maybe the machnisinus mace, the cheder, you know, implies that we need to neutralize the presence of the mace, al pidin, right, so that we can proceed. There's something about the presence of the mace, right, which is also an impediment. So even if you decide, but let's say in the bigger scheme of things, in terms of, you know, priorities, which is one way to look at all of this, right, that, you know, you have a clash and you have to figure out, normally you would be involved in Avelis, or normally you'd be involved in Simchas Chasan V'Kala, and right now, you can't do both together, so you have to figure out which one to do. So whenever you have that kind of a choice, and we have a whole history, right, in the halacha of different, scenarios like this, whether it's osek b'mitzvah, you know, potur min ha-mitzvah, or ase docha lo sase, you know, things of this sort, where you have a clash. So there are always two ways to look at it. One is, as I said before, it's a question of priority. In other words, you're acknowledging the presence of both of these things, and you want to or you need to prioritize. Sometimes we call that dechuya, and so on. Other times, it's not so simple, and you need to somehow neutralize the one factor in order for the other factor, you know, to proceed. In a way, you can almost have like three, you know, different models, but of course I'm far, far oversimplifying, right? One is a kind of a dechuya, where both exist and it's a question simply of priority. The other is where you have what we sometimes call hutra, right, which means that in the context of one, the other, right, is not an issue or a problem at all. So it's not that you're choosing one for the other, but that in the context of one, the other doesn't exist and doesn't constitute an impediment. But sometimes you can have a third, and that is that as long as one is there, you won't allow for the prioritizing of the second, you know, vis-a-vis the first. But there sometimes is a way, having acknowledged that, and that's almost like the opposite of the hutra, but having acknowledged that, there is a way to take steps, let's say, to neutralize one of them so that the other, you know, can be either B'torah's priority or because now it's the one. So I'm not saying that's what's going on here. I'm just saying the language of the Gemara is just very dramatic. So it's dramatic for more pragmatic or a little more, you know, at least reasons that are less halachic, or machnisin es ames v'cheder is a way of saying something bigger and saying that, you know, basically you need to take steps here so that there isn't even a clash. And then somehow you can proceed. This is not going to work according to all Rishonim, but it may in particular work, this comment, for one of the Rishonim here in the Sugya, as we'll soon see, namely the Ritva. Okay. Either way, the Gemara's language, even if you don't go that far, is dramatic. Machnisin es ames v'cheder, es achasim v'sakalo l'chupa. Right, two opposite things are happening here, and we're trying to figure out how and why. Ubo bilas mitzvah, uporesh. That too is a line which requires our attention. This we discussed already several times, including you know, very end of our last semester. Right, bo bilas mitzvah uporesh. The sense that we'll just get back to it just for a little bit more, but the need for bilas mitzvah here is questionable. And why do you need bilas mitzvah? And what does that especially since you need to be poresh right after. Why couldn't you have just dispensed with the bias mitzvah? A, is it a problem in this context? Is it some sort of a concession that we're doing it? If there is some sort of a concession, so what is the urgency to do it, given the fact that, as we know, you can be a nesua gemura, right, without it, right? Nesuin constitutes... is constituted of Erusin, which we've talked about, and Nisuin. And as far as the definitions of Nisuin are concerned, as we know, whether you hold like the Ran or the Tosfos Rid or the Ramah or the Rambam, you know, whichever definition you want, and all the nuances, and we've discussed this, Bilas Mitzvah, right, should not be a necessary prerequisite. Unless you say that it's a din in Chupa Ru'uya Labiya. And even if it's in the chupa ru'uya l'biya, so you still might have said, well, it's ru'uya l'biya, but, you know, it doesn't mean you actually have to do it. And certainly, if you have to have the ability to do it, that still doesn't mean that you have to actually act upon it. So bo bilas mitzvah uporesh is a bit surprising, and that's what Tosfos addresses. And why is it called bilas mitzvah? What role does it play here specifically? So we'll get back to that. We'll sum up that a little bit more, but we've talked about it a few times. So the role of bilas mitzvah is something to keep our eye on. Okay. Then the benoeg shivas imei mishta v'achakach shivas imei avelos, that we'll talk about more as well. Right. Clearly what happens here is Avram, that once you start with the, it's not only, I mean, the truth is that we are concerned because the father, you know, is irreplaceable, and he just died after preparing this, you know, this process, or the mother of the Kala, and that's the urgency, and that's the reason for moving forward. So one might have thought that justifies moving forward, right, in one sense, but not in another sense. What do I mean by that, David? In what sense would we think that we'd move forward and we're a little surprised that maybe it means more than that and we have to figure out whether and why? The father died, father of the chassid, or the mother of the kalos. In a minute we're going to see that if it was the opposite, right, it would have had not necessarily the same effect, right? But once this is true, so we, you know, if we didn't know the halacha, what might we have thought? That this is urgent, this causes an urgency. That's why the urgent language and the dramatic language. Great. But does that necessarily have to translate into the noeg shiva simei mishta v'acharkach noeg shiva simei avelos? What do I mean, David? Meaning that the correct, meaning that the main concern on the surface of this test this should have been with what? What institution? No. I mean, what I'm saying is there's something mechudash on the surface in the language of the Gemara or in the statement of the Gemara. We need to identify, and then we'll see whether it's important or not. But what would you have thought if I... What am I trying to say here? Am I making a fuss about nothing or something, basically? You know, what should it have said? What would we might we have expected as an alternative? Bo bilas mitzvah uporesh, and then what? Maybe knowing, because you say, shivas me'avelus, because... Because you need to add the because what was important about the misas ha'av and the misas ha'aim shalakala and the father of the chasan is what on the surface the wedding what you couldn't push off the wedding itself in other words the actual chuppah right but the chaora that has nothing to do with or does it with shivas and amishta. What?
She used to look good those days, those 7 days. You know, the mother put her together and stuff. She used to look good.
Okay, so we have basically several alternatives to explain this. That might be an answer already. I'm just saying when we first read the Gemara, we should be struck by, you know, some of the literary flourishes, which I already mentioned. Again, we'll have to decide whether the Rishonim, think that they're important or not. But we should also, you know, be careful in understanding the full scope of what what's being said here. So all I'm saying is, what you're suggesting is a good answer, right? Well, Steve, it's the correct answer, you know, for various Rishonim, but it's definitely an approach. And so you're basically saying, which person again?
David.
So what David is suggesting is that, we should reassess, you know, when the mother is not around or the father is not around, that's irrevocably, you know, a loss, not only for the sudas, a chuppah, or for the act of the chuppah, or for the institution of the chuppah, but in Ochanami for the shivas and amishta as well, right? For very pragmatic reasons, might be pragmatic reasons, might be for idealistic reasons, halachic reasons, etc. So maybe we should just assume that that our initial, in which case it's just as urgent to get the sheva brachos, the quality of the sheva brachos, just as much as the quality of the chuppah. Let's say justify. You know, the delay here. But there are other ways, other possibilities here. Namely, Jonathan, so we'll have to look at what the Rishonim actually say. I'm just doing a survey.
Say that you can't have a wedding without certain things. It's not a pragmatic concern.
Oh. In other words, the other possibility is not so much that the father of the chasan and the mother of the kala are relevant to Shivas Me'amishta. By the way, for David's comment that maybe they are, we should just, not David because he wasn't here, although maybe he learned it elsewhere, but for those of you here, most of the people who were here, the first part of the first semester, so we know that when we discuss the sugya of Shoktu, for example, Shoktu Chacham Takana Bnos Yisrael, right, that she gets, we have to make sure that she gets a good quality, marriage, that the chuppah, that the sudas chasan v'kala, you know, is proper. So, well, what else? Yonatan? There's a discussion of the Rishonim, whether or not that is primarily about her and her family, good, or him, or both. That's one issue, but that's not relevant to the right this second. What else? What discussion is, David? There too we had this question, whether or not it's really about, and one of the perspectives was, the quality of the meal, the Shakta Chacham Tzkanu Bnos Yisrael, while zeroes in on the Suda, really spills over into Shivas Me'amishta. Right. So the idea that, the David's idea, which is really, it's the same thing, or that one at least, is responsible for the other in some respects, again, the details, technical part of it doesn't really matter so much, is something which has a parallel right over there. Okay, so that's one thing. But the other possibilities are what Jonathan is raising, which is really this is just about the chuppah, and it's really just about that moment or the suda maybe as well. But invariably, right, Jonathan, once you trigger the chuppah, maybe there's no going back. In other words, one of the things that we would want to look into, this is one of the sugyas that's going to, one of the question David raises is a question of what is the relationship pragmatically, you know, between, you know, sudas, sakhasam, vikala, and shiva, saneha, mishta. And that affects many things. The question Jonathan is raising is a more, you know, legal question, and that is, to what extent, you know, can there be any kind of separation between the chuppah, right, and the shiva, saneha, mishta? Can you have a hefsek ever between one and the other? So this is going to be important. One of the things that's going to come up with, and you'll see in a moment, is in the question of ipcha. Right. What happens if it's the father of the kala and the mother of the chasam? Right. What happens then? And in general, can you ever, you know, drive a wedge, or is shivas nevishta always triggered automatically, you know, by the chuppah? So again, take Jonathan's approach. What we're basically saying is, in Ochanami, all we care about is the chuppah initially, but it's a package deal. Legally, it's a package deal. The chuppah generates shivas me'amishta, whether you like it or not. Now, two, like the first question, has impact on the relationship of these various institutions. How do we even count shivas me'amishta? One of the things that we'll talk about when we get to Daf Ches again, when we revisit Daf Ches, right? Let's say you have the chuppah. Normally, you know, like in many cases, the shiva simeah mishta, you know, begin automatically at the end of the day of the chuppah. Right. So, you know, the first sheva brachos of shiva simeah mishta is also on the same day as the simchas chasam bakala, but it doesn't always have to be that way, as we know. Right. Sometimes it could be that the chuppah is on one day. And the shivas, first of the shivas me'amishta of the shema brachos and so on, is on the next day. Right. How do we count shivas me'amishta, really, from the time of the chuppah, or from the time of the, you know, the first shema brachos, if you want to call it? I'm using shema brachos as a reference to the you know, to not the under the chuppah, but the first. The first meal. So this is a big discussion with the Rishonim. We'll document it when we get a chance. How do you define things like a panim chadashos? A panim chadashos defined by, you know, by the wedding, by the chuppah, or by the first of the May, of the celebrations in the Imei HaMishta. To what extent are Imei HaMishta, in other words, triggered by and flow from, you can be mechalic between these different issues too, from the chuppah, or the chuppah lechud, that's one thing, and then comes the rest. It could be one triggers the other automatically, and we still treat them discreetly. Don't get me wrong, but these are some issues that will highlight. You know, we've been talking about the stages, right? The erusin, the fact that there could be before the erusin, we talked about the shiduchin, right? We talked about the erusin, the fact that there could be two erusins. Right, a more formal one and a personal one, like Aide Shliach and Bali Minyan and Eno Karov L'Chuppa. Right, then we're talking about the Chuppa. Then we're talking about you know, Bilas Mitzvah, and then we're talking about Shiva Sinei Mishta. So, what extent is there discreteness? So, the sugya is one of the things that we have to look at. We'll try to see what people say. Okay, then Achakach Noeg Shiva Sinei Avelus. Okay, and then Kolos Anayamim, Avram, what we're saying? Hu Yashen Ben Anashim, Vihi Shena Ben Hanashim. The Gemara is going to discuss this soon. What's this idea? What is this halacha? So number one, the implication clearly is that there's that Dvarim Shebetzinan, that Tashmish Amita in particular, is prohibited during the Shiva Sinei HaMishta of Chasam Bekala. That has to be analyzed. Examined. Why is that obvious or not obvious? What do you think, Avram, when you first see it?
It's not obvious based on when the place of the kvura is and when you go up to
that. This is all before the kvura, or is it before the kvura? Well, poresh, that's one of the things you have to check as well. Bo bilas mitzvah poresh is still before the kvura, certainly, seems to be. After you know, kolos on a yamim hu yashim ben anashim hi shena ben anashim, that might be already after the kavura, right? that is probably after the Tevura. So the question is whether the Isra of Tashmish, but it's still not obvious because why? Well, that we'll get to that also. That's an issue. The implication of Bo Bilas Mitzvah Uporesh is that even in the state of Aninus that there would be some sort of a problem. Right. Okay, but we're not 100% sure about reading it that way. So that's a question whether there's an Isur Tashmish Amita Ba'onein, you know, before the Kvura one, so it's only Aninus. That's one of the issues that we're going to discuss. That's who debates that question? Can we just, in advance, just to know? Before, major, the Rambam man, and the Rambam. Correct. So we'll discuss that. That's one of the big machlokes rishonim between the Rambam and Ramban about aninus and avelus. Okay. But in addition to that, let's assume that we're dealing already with the avelus, lachar kvura. So what's the chiddush of kolos on ayamim hu yashin ben anashim yishena ben anashim? Meaning, if this is for via that point, why is that mechudash? Because shiras shemay mishta have the equivalence usually we think of a regel. It's regel di day, the regel di da. So the question is that true in a real regel? What if you had the exact same circumstances in a regel? I mean, you had a kvura, right, during the regel, and we know that most of the nihuge avelos are postponed till afterwards. And the question is, what about what we call dvarim shebetzin? Right, this is a question regarding Shabbos, and it's a question regarding Yom Tov. So if you take the view that there always is an Isur of Tashmish Shemitah, of Devarim Shebetzina, when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, then we wouldn't be surprised if Huadin Beregel Didei Beregel Dida. Maybe you could even say Kosher King, right? But if we find that when it comes to Regel, that there is no Isur or Shabbos or An Shabbos, so then it would seem that there's a big problem here. Like, we do mean that regel di day v'dida, seemingly, I mean, we're pushing off avelos, right? So that's establishing that it's like regel di day v'dida. Moreover, we know that the din of shiv smeh mishta have the status of regel di day v'dida. Shua, how do we know it? What else? What other din? This is just general knowledge. I think we've mentioned it, but not preparation for this particular topic. From what? Well, that we just said. I mean, the Shiva Samei Avelos are Nitka. Is that what you mean? Yeah, so that we said already. But what other din do we know of, David? Kevin? What other din do we know of? A famous din? Josh?
Well, if Avelos started before Yom Tov, and then it could canceled out by Yom Tov, and you wouldn't be no Hegir afterwards.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll hold off on that for a moment. That would be similar to this, but what other very different kind of halacha, but well-known halacha? David?
Tachanun.
What? Well, tachanun. Okay, tachanun. You know, in the presence of the chassan during the week. That's true. That's good. Josh? Excellent. I should have called you on you right away. I figured you were like a Taurus person. Right. What's the din in Saras? Yeah, you don't let the Kohen look at the Tzaras right until after the Simchas, after the Shiva Simei Mishta. Right, and the reason for that is because, like, it's Yom Tov Tidei V'Dida. Excellent, very good. So the point is, if we consider Shiva Simei Mishta literally to be both in terms of the Din Tachnun, very good, but you know, especially Shiva Simei Avelos and the Gaim, if we consider it to be Yom Tov Tidei V'Dida. So, if there's a discrepancy, how would you explain, let's say, the discrepancy? Okay, yeah. The Dafka Aviv, go ahead.
The Dafka Aviv is the person of Yimush and Kala. So they can use the Torah for them. About Ipcha alone.
Yeah. So this is, Bogdan tells exactly what happens in Ipcha. We don't do the same thing. Right, but what is a din in Ipcha? I mean, if it's the mother of the chassan and the father of the kala, right? So it's if we don't do this, what do we do? Okay, so that's something that we have to look at as well to see whether or not some of the issues that we just raised aren't... The implication of the Gemara in addition, which if we didn't bring it out yet, is that bo bilas mitzvah u poresh, right, that even though there's aninus going on here, that there's a heter bia, right? And it seems as if, the kvura took place first, that there would be no heter bia. Okay. Not impossible to read the Gemara otherwise, but that's a simple reading of the Gemara. So in addition to the other things that we just said, right, what another thing that seems to emerge in the Gemara is that we're mekel in aninus beyond avelus. Maybe that's not true. Okay, but that's maybe there's an explanation that's inconsistent with that point. But that's something to look at in terms of the Gemara. So these two of these points are brought up by the Bali Tosfos here, just to get them on the record. Again, the question of bilas mitzvah and its role here, that's certainly brought out by this Tosfos, bilas mitzvah, the second one, but that we mentioned already. I'm referring more to the other two points. The first Tosfos, well, bilas mitzvah, poresh, right, this Tosfos makes this call. We'll get back to it, but in the end of the piece, he just zeroes in on it. The hashta, right, David, go ahead. Is this the end of Tosfos? First, the end of the first Tosfos on the page? Did you see it yet? Yeah, we'll talk about the rest of the Tosfos too, but so what's he saying in a nutshell? Well, as reflected, and it's also consistent with something that is reflected. So this is Tosfos doesn't say Vim Tomar V'yesh Lomar. I'm not sure if it even is V'yesh Lomar, but this is basically Tosfos is zeroing in on a problem in the Gemara. Right? Aninus. You know, everybody agrees that there are aspects of Aninus which are Doraisa. Okay, we'll talk more about it. Right? What aspects of Aninus are Doraisa? Kodshim, Maaser Sheni, Avoda, right? Certainly in the world of the Beis Hamikdash, right? There are dinim lo chalti boni mimenu, right? There are psukim, there are drashos. These are dinim doraisa. And avelos, I'll try to figure out a little. Again, we're not learning white cotton here, but we're going to spend a couple of days discussing some things that overlap, obviously. What about avelos is doraisa? Is any of it doraisa? So Tosfos is just pointing out, isn't it strange that the Gemara is saying, machnisan es hameis lecheder bo bilas mitzvah poresh, seemingly in the context of aninus, even though aspects of it are doraisa, while avelus, which is usually drabanan, or maybe the circumstances is drabanan, it seems that we would be more machmir. So Tosfos is just pointing out, right, midi dahave ani ilas sandal vatifas harosh, meaning, it's not necessarily an answer, but maybe it's the beginning of an answer. Meaning, this isn't a lone phenomenon. Right? This is part of at least something of a pattern. There are other things about Avelus that are more machmir than Aninus. Now, is it a good comparison? Ni'ilas sandal atifas harosh kviyas hamita. These are just raising the question. We're going to get back to these and discuss them more fully, obviously. But, Jason, what do you think? Good comparison? Between the... Tosfos is saying, well, midi dahava, meaning this is there's a precedent for this kind of thing. But even though Aninus is daraisa and Avelus is darabanan, that we're more machmir in one than in the other. For example, atifas harosh kviya samita. What's the third one? Yilas Asando. What's he saying? Yeah?
The reasons behind the Surah might be totally different.
Okay, number one, the reasons behind being Surah might be different. That's fine and good, but even more than that, even more basic than that. David? What? Okay, I'm not so sure that that's the point, but Yitzi, right?
The public nature of
Okay, that's already a very, we'll get back to that. That's a good point. That might be an open, but I'm asking why this is an imperfect, maybe you want to say for that reason. I mean, saying, oh, these are public things, but, you know, this is a more of a private thing, so maybe that shouldn't be applying. Okay, very good, maybe. But I think there's something more basic before we even get to that, and that is anybody? Yeah? Aaron?
Maybe Joel's talk was a bit sort of related to Sarah.
I'm not sure I understand. What does Tosfos think about Tashrei Shemitah for Noni? Do they think it's normally in a typical case of Onin? Is it Asa or Mutter? Right, we mentioned before, who mentioned before? Avram? Right? That it's a machlokas between the big machlokas Rishonim, including Rambam and Ramban. Right? Rambam seems to say what? That there's no such Issa. And the Ramban disagrees, right? And that affects how you read our whole sugya, as we'll see. So regarding that, I think there's something more big. What does Tosfos think about it? Pashtus. Itamar.
It's really the new name of
what are you saying in regard to that at this point? Meaning there. No, I'm not sure if I'm saying that. What is Tosfos' view about Tashmi Shemitah here?
Awesome.
Presumably, then it's Osir.
Yeah.
So he bring a Raya, but it's not going to be Osir in this particular case, and he's bring a Raya, maybe to have it, but there, it's not applicable ever. Does he think that Tifus HaRosh, Nilas HaSandal, and Kfiya Samita apply to Aninus in a case where there's no Chasanado?
Sounds like he thinks that in principle it should.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's there's nobody, as far as I'm aware, who holds that Nilas HaSandal, Atifas HaRosh, and Kfiya Samita apply to Aninus. Even the Ramban, in other words, who is the Rishon, right, who tries to, you know, let's say for the purposes of right now, but we're going to revise it, who tries to paper over, if not obliterate, the paper over part we could keep, but we're not going to keep the obliterate. The differences between Aninus and Avelus, even the Ramban admits that if you look at the Gemaras and so on, the Pashtus is that Kfiya Samita, Nilas HaSandal, and Atifas HaRosh do not apply to Zmano Aninus. So let's assume that that's the case for all Rishon. As far as I know, there's no Rishon hold that applies in Aninus. So the Pashtus is that Tosfos is saying, Midi Dahaba, things that don't apply to Aninus at all, right, are being used to demonstrate that Tashmi Shemitah, which would apply, but is more flexible in Aninus versus Avelus. Now that's not a bad, that's not wrong. And that's if I were in the position of Balei Tosfos, right, Tosfos is dealing with a fact. Right, the fact is that the Gemara seems to imply strongly that we're more flexible about Tashmi Shemitah b'Aninus than it is in Avelus. And Tosfos is subtly asking, how could that be if Aninus is Daraisa and Avelus is Drabana? So what I would be trying to look for, right, to justify this halacha, or to kind of put it in the context of a bigger pattern, what I would try to be looked for were the other things where we're machmir in Avelus and we're mekil in Aninus. And quoting Atifas HaRosh, Kfiya Samita, and an Ilas HaSandal is perfectly appropriate in that context. However, I'm just making the ha'ara that there's still a big difference. And that is, what you might say is that there are issues that do not apply, right, in Aninus, you know, Daraisa, that apply in Avelus, Drabana. And you still have to explain that, why that is so. Right? The Ramban has an explanation. He has a handy explanation, if you will. Although, again, I think he speaks about it in a couple of places, and I think that he's really trying to say two different things. But at least in one of the places, the Ramban will tell you, I don't know if you've seen it already. Seen it already? Aaron?
Yeah.
Sounds like you might have seen it. I mean, what's wrong with Atifa? Why Atifa Tarosh, Kfiya Samita, Nilas HaSandal, why don't they apply to Aninus? Point to the Ramban in one of the places.
So he says
that's the Mitzar and Idonin, that whole business.
Right.
Okay, but yeah, that's I think the more subtle one. But in one formulation, at least, it sounds like it's more... What? Okay, but... Right, but I think the main point of the Ramban is very pragmatic, meaning it interferes with the asik of kavura. Put it that way. So, but that wouldn't apply to Pastor Shemitah. Right? Even if you don't have a pragmatic explanation, the point is that in the things where... It's one thing... Again, I want to make it clear. I'm not criticizing Balei Tosfos, Chas v'Shalom, but... what I am saying is that there's a bit of a leap here. I mean, if I were in Balei Tosfos' position, I would do exactly what they did. I would be looking for kulas and avelas to try to support the kula. I'm sorry, I would be looking for chumras and avelas to try to support the chumra in avelas in this case. I'm just pointing out that there is a difference between saying things don't apply institutionally at all to aninus, and they apply to Avelos, and saying that things that institutionally, theoretically apply to both Aninos and Avelos, that were more machmer in Avelos and were more mekel in Avelos. That's simply the point I'm making. Now, of course, the more that you can provide a pragmatic explanation only, right, to some of these differences, that also is going to affect whether you want to quote them midi dehava. In other words, if I say that the reasons that Atifas Arosh and Kfiya Samita and the Ilas HaSandal, that the reason that they don't apply to Aninos, like that one perspective, certainly in the Ramban, which is because it interferes with Asek of Kura Sameis, right? So then you've also a bit undermined the pattern that you want to, even acknowledging that it's a bit of a leap, you know, to go from something that doesn't apply to something that applies but is more flexible, right? If the Balei Tosfos were to hold like the Ramban, they do seem to hold like the Ramban about Tashmish Shemitah here, right? But if they were to hold like the Ramban, that formulation about Kfiya Samita, Atifas HaRosh, and Ilas HaSandal, then effectively, right, it would seem like they were undermining their own justification. Because the answer is not only those differences because they don't apply at all, and this applies, but is being treated more flexibly. They don't apply at all. Doesn't reflect anything about the chumrah of Avelus and the kula of Aninus. On the contrary, it's just a function in a way of the chumrah of Aninus, meaning that you can't have anything interfering with kvuras ameis. What I would say is that this Tosfos is significant for three reasons. Number one, Tosfos is, without saying being Tomar V'Yeshomar, is really zeroing in on one of the big problems of our sugya. How could this be? And we need to assess that. For the Ramban, for the Rambam, for the Ritva, and in general. Like, why is it that we are more flexible about being Matir, Tashmish Shemitah, Be'aninus, more than Avelos, right? Especially according to the Rishonim, that it applies to both. And the Rambam's answer may be very simple: it doesn't apply to both. Okay. You still won't want to understand that, but technically, legally, the Rambam has less of a problem here. But according to the Rishonim, who think that in theory does apply to both, what's going on here? That's number one of Tosfos. Number two of Tosfos is that Tosfos's answer seems to be assuming with the Ramban that Tashma Shemitah applies, and at the same time that you can. That the flexibility in one can be proved from the institutional lack of application of three others, which implies that that they are not excluded, for technical reasons, and therefore that the pattern of kula and chumra is something that is relevant here. Okay, that's just we'll get back to it, but that's one thing that's going on. On the issue of Dvarim Shebetzina, in Shiva Sameh Mishta, and what that has to do, or how that plays out regarding Regel and Shabbos, right, another implication of the Gemara that we have to investigate, that's also discussion in Tosfos. Right? That's the bottom Tosfos on the page, Avol Dvarim Shel Tzina Nohei. Okay, what is Yaakov? Do you want to read that quickly? Just to get it in, and then we'll... Pirish?
Came,
meaning what? Don't think that Dvarim Shebetzina is a restraint. Right. It's that you're obligated. It's you're obligated to desist. Okay. Go ahead. What's he saying?
That Rav Shmuel saying Moed Katan, that if you have
sounds of Moed Katan, the Tashmish Amita on the Shabbos that falls in Shiva Samei Mishta. Rishos. What does it mean, Rishos? I mean, it's not a chiyuv. The chiyuv, assuming that's the regular ona, let's say, so there's no chiyuv ona, so it's a rishus. But it's not an Easter, which means that we're more machmir on the yom tov, the David Dida, than we are on Shabbos. Okay, go ahead. Vein svara.
Vein svara l'chalik demoy l'shabbos. What kill l'shabbos to say?
What are you going to say? That Shabbos, there's greater urgency, but moed goes with Shiva Sinei Mishta, and there would be Asur, right? So he says that doesn't seem to be the case. No. That Shabbos is more Chamor. Would there be a reason to think that Yom Tov would be more Chamor? I mean, that Shabbos would be more Kal. Would there be a reason to think that Yom Tov would be more Kal? What? Yeah. Don't make it such a dvarim shivatzino what you're saying. It's good. You might think that what Tosfos is saying is don't think that Shabbos is different than Yom Tov, and on Shabbos Dafka there's a heter tashmish, but on Yom Tov maybe there would be an iser. Tosfos says I don't think that's correct, right? But what Yaakov and I are agreeing with, if anything, you would say that they're equal. Or the opposite. You might say that Yom Tov you should be more Mekel than Shabbos, because Yom Tov is, we'll talk more about this in a little bit, Oneg, right? The Karas of the Shabbos, Oneg, right? Shabbos is Simcha. I'm sorry, I said the opposite. Shabbos is Oneg, but Karas of the Shabbos, Oneg, is the first part, right? Say if I said wrong. And Yom Tov, Moed, is the Samach, the Bechagecha, is Simcha, right? And that's, for example, the explanation of the Ramban in Torah Adam, which not everybody agrees to, but it's a very important Ramban. Right, the Ramban in Torah Adam says, why is it that Yom Tov is Soser Avelos and Shabbos is not? Right? We talked about this in the past. So Rashi in Moed Katan seems to say, very simply, and that is that the confluence of Shabbos and Avelos is built in. Anytime you're going to have Shiva, and you're not going to be mafsik, you have Shabbos. Shabbos is part of every Shiva. Right? So, whereas Yom Tov is a coincidence of the calendar, and the idea that, you know, Yom Tov is somehow integrated into a Shiva is just simply not true. I would say it even in a different way, and that is that, you know, part of Shiva, psychologically, halachically, when I say psychological in this context, I always mean a psychological halachic, right? Kubler-Ross, not only notwithstanding, but that's my point. Everybody read up on Kubler-Ross since Tuesday? Right? Could put on the next Bechina? What?
Put on the shirt as well.
Yeah, exactly. So the point is that the you know, the first Shabbos, you know, with, you know, in the absence of the mace, is really part of the experience of Shiva. Right? Because that's really part of the routine of life. Part of the whole idea of Shiva is the way, you know, to absorb the loss appropriately, and also to find a way to reconnect and to re-emerge after, right, not too soon, but with the proper structure, the Onein, the Yom Rishon Shel Avelos, Yom Kippur Misa, you know, the Yom Aleph, the Yom Aleph and Beis, maybe Tefillin, the Gimel Yomim, the Zion, the Lamed, the Yud Beis Kodesh, the Yortzeits. These are all, you know, methods of coping, and also of coping, of absorbing the loss in its fullness. Part of the, you know, Kedushas HaGabra, who was irrevocably lost to the world, right? But at the same time, the other side of the dialectic, of reconnecting with life, right? And again, you don't want to do one more quickly than the other. It's perfectly halachically calibrated. Just as Simchas Nisuin and its stages. That's what I meant the other day. Moshe Tikein, Moshe Tikein. Right? The sugya is a great example of the parallel opposite structures that are intended to remind you of one when you're involved in the other, number one, you know, the highs and the lows, but also because highs and lows are excesses and, you know, they operate, you know, in a very similar fashion. At least that's how I view it. Anyways, the point is that the first, so Shabbos is very much integrated, lemaisa, in every Shiva, unless it would have been 8 days for seven, and also just as part of the routine of life and the reemergence, you know, part of it, that first Shabbos, etc. That's not true about Yom Tov. Right? Yom Tov is, you know, is a coincidence of the calendar. And of course, the way that you experience Yom Tovim in the first year, you know, is at some point, you know, that is something which is part of that process. But it's a coincidence, and therefore, not a, in addition to being a coincidence, it's not part of the story, per se, of the Shiva, right, that you have an expression of it on Yom Tov. So that's a way to look at the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov, you know, which I think is very effective and I think is true, according to some of the Mefarshim. However, the Ramban, in Torah Sa'adam, doesn't see it that way, and instead argues that Shabbos is Oneg, that Yom Tov is Simcha, that Simcha is a stira to Abel, and therefore it obliterates, it's a tartis asri, and it obliterates Avelos, whereas, you know, Shabbos, which is Oneg, can abide it. It's a very profound idea, too. So the idea that even Dvarim Shebetzina, right, would make the cut on Shabbos, you can't express it, because that's against Kavod Shabbos, but, you know, in terms of Dvarim Shebetzina, right, and again, my suggestion is that while the more obvious way to explain Dvarim Shebetzina is, well, there's a stira between the demands of Shabbos and the demands of Avelos. And that is, you know, that is coped with and handled, you know, by making this compromise. You know, because Dvarim Shebetzina don't, you know, don't slap Shabbos in the face, certainly not Kavod Shabbos, which anyways is a more public, you know, kind of an expression. So you're able to, you know, accomplish the Avelos, you know, and you safeguard the Kedusha Shabbos, the Farhesia as well. I would argue that it's even more than that, based on what I said a second ago, which is that the way to properly express Avelos on that first Shabbos as a way of reemerging, you know, into life and also expressing on the first Shabbos the sense of Avelos is perfectly calibrated with Dvarim Shebetzina. So it isn't just the Dechuya part of it, let's call it. You know, you have this clash, you do what you can until you're stepping on the toes of the other, but that same process makes it a perfect kind of a hutra, if you will, like best way to ever for, you know, a Shabbos of Avelos. Anyways, the point is that it would be, who actually holds this way, by the way, about Shabbos and that Shabbos, you know, Dvarim Shebetzina, you know, are different. You know, Shabbos is Dvarim Shebetzina, not Yom Tov. Who?
Rambam.
Right. It depends on the Girsos, which we'll discuss. But the Rambam happens to be of the opinion that on Yom Tov there's no Dvarim Shebetzina. And who argues?
Rambam.
Rambam again. Right. Rambam thinks that on Yom Tov, again, depends how you read the Gemaras in where. Well, my cut a little bit in brachos, right? So we'll get back to that. But the point is here, Tosis is addressing the question, right? Tosis is saying, basically, v'im tomar, why are we treating shivs me'mishta yom tov de'David ida differently? So what we say, Shabbos, the other way, saying maybe Shabbos is more mekel linyan avelos. We're more machmer and onig Shabbos. I don't think so. They're equal. Rambam's going to tell you, not only are they equal, but the Yom Tov should be, right, more of a stira. So then the question of chas v'kala becomes really a problem. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
The rabbi from Fugay ben Chasim l'moed, the moed of Shabbos, the Fugay ben Chasim l'moed of Shabbos.
So we're having troubles here.
Yeah.
Right. dad, Velbari.
Velbari, the Vade Nira de Halacha Kiri Yochanan, may the Amar Ashas.
Okay, so we'll get back to it. But the point is, this may be an important idea. So what are you going to say here, basically, to this question? Yaakov. Seems like Shabbos and Yom Tov were Nako, maybe, or it's Machlokas. What? So if you... This is what Tosas addressing. We'll get back to the Tosas. We'll see what the other Rishonim say about it, too. But what might emerge from here? Something to look at, Ellie?
The relationship between Hasna and Regulon Chavez. The relationship between Shavin Mamisha and Hand and Regulon Chavez and others.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, even though there are common features between it's Regul Di David Di Da regarding the Goy and regarding the Dechias Shiva Simea Velus. Right? How does it stand vis-a-vis a regular Yom Tov? Or vis-a-vis Yom Tov and Shabbos? After all, those are not just personal Yomim Tovim, those are objective Yomim Tovim. So part of the discussion of the Rishonim here, ends up being, how does, as you might say, for the Chasam and the Kala, this is Shavuos and Sukkot and Pesach and, all wrapped up in one. I'm not sure about Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur was before the wedding, when they said the vidui, and they abstained from eating, but maybe the Mechila Savonos part, but right. So this is an important, this is a second important question. Okay, let's continue. Just get through the Shaka Vatari. And we already have identified some of the questions. Go ahead.
Amar Rav Amar Papa Amar Rav Chista Lo Shanu El Shnasimai Magavi Basar Lo Matamai Magavi Basar Misavin.
So what do you make of this part of it? This is like a... Till now I've been zeroing on points in the Gemara which seem to tell us certain things and raise certain questions. And this part? This part is purely, pragmatic and economic. And how, what's the marketplace for, for getting a return on your financial investment, it's the difference between a big city and a little town, and what about something in between? So we don't need to zero in on that part so much. Okay, let's continue. Here we have an addition that we didn't have in the previous brisa, right? B'chein.
B'chein.
Misha Pirsa Ishto Nida. Oh, so this, of course, belongs to which topic? Avram? One that we did already. Yeah, the problem of Chupas Nida. If you remember that when we discussed the problem of Chupas Nida, I say some of the things that we did that took us a long time happened to have been, we invested in some other sugyas, including Dav Dalet and Dav Zayin and Dav Ches. Etc. So this is one of them, right? You could talk about Chupas Nida either on Daf Beis Amud Beis, the Giyas Mamad L'Nisu, or Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, the Ramban, the Ra, right? They talk about it in Dalet Amud Aleph. The Iran and the others talk about Beis Amud Beis. We chose to speak about it early, but this, of course, implies that you could have a chupa, right, of a Nida, unless you say that the Pirsa Nida took place after the chupa, and that was part of the issue, right, as well. Okay. Either way, the Gemara says that Isha Nida before Bilas Mitzvah, Hu Yashem Ben Hanashim, Hi Yishena Ben Hanashim. And this is going to pose a problem anyway for us in a moment, because the Pashtus is that Nabelos, it's Bol Bilas Mitzvah Poresh, and still you have this limitation. So we'll talk about that. Go ahead. Eimodim Tachshitim in Akala Kol Amid Yom. We mentioned that already. By the way, that's an issue to think about. Because, again, in the hierarchy of, again, we're just doing multiple things at the moment, but at the same time, but in the hierarchy, again, of stages of the marriage, we have to think about what those stages, you know, accomplish and refer to. But one of, you know, the levels of simcha, at what point is the shame chosen and shame kala poka, and for which dinim is that koveya, right? The status of being a chassan and a kala. Is that something that goes on all year? You know, is there a difference between the shame chassan and the shame kala? Right. In terms of how long, you know, it lasts. Anyways, what are these dina? Ain monim takshitim and a kala kolam ad yom, or is the din in shloshim yom, is something, you know, to think about in that hierarchy. We'll get back to it. Okay, go ahead. Okay, that we've discussed partially already, right? Shabbos, problem of the Yerushalmi, and the Rambam felt it was a problem of Chilul Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and Motzei Shabbos. We'll get back to. Okay, Omar Ba. Oh, so once again, it seems to be the statement that Dvarim Shebitzina, right, are noheg. But the problem is, how will you interpret this if you hold like the Ramban, that really there's no Dvarim Shebitzina b'moed. So there is a different girsa here. I see on the side he quotes it also, which is Afim Shamru Eina Velus, not b'moed, but the Shabbos. Okay, that's exactly the distinction between, right, Shabbos and Moed that we spoke of before, and which may be explained again in the Oz V'Hadar Gemara. He has a longer, or Girsas Kama Rishonim, Shomrin Avil B'Shabbos, and then he tells you to look at Tosfos Moed Katan, which you should look at, and the Rishonim, and the Baal HaMor, and the Mochamos. We'll talk about it more. Okay, but this is part of the discussion. Go ahead. Referring to Ishto Nida, right? Referring to Pirsa Nida, right? In general, when a married couple, you don't separate the husband and wife during, you don't say, you know, you don't have that kind of harchaka, you know, during the main Nida. Only if there never was yet the consummation of the marriage. Okay, go ahead. But the question is, so the Gemara is equating the Easter of Dvar Shebitzina in Avelus with the Easter Nida in the context of Ishus. Correct? The Gemara says, you see, it's not true from the Chasson Avel case. Go ahead. So the Gemara says, no, we're going to be the chalik between Nida and Avelus. Yeah. So then something strange emerges, right? That is that Avelus is more machmir in Avelus, which al kol tarash lo tavo is certainly not a chiyuv. We're not even sure if Avelus is Doraisa. And even if we're talking about Avelus Doraisa, either of Zayin Yamim or Yom Rishon or Yom Kvuro Mesa, in some situation where there was Avelus Doraisa, certainly there's no chiyuv skila. Right? There's no violation of skila here. Whereas in Pirsa Ishto Nida, right, there's a debate whether it's, we discussed it a little bit, whether it's erba, right? But there's no debate that it's an Isur Chamor of Kares. So you have a strange phenomenon, and that is that we're more Makil, in other words, in the Isur Kares than we are in Avelus. Okay. Now, in a way, that is a little bit parallel, you know, to what Tosus was asking in the bigger question of the Sugya, namely that Onein seems to be Doraisa, and yet we're Makil on Heter Bia. And Avelus is only Drabanan, and it seems like we're Machmir. Right? doesn't have to be the same thing, but it's in the same direction. Okay, correct? Okay, go ahead. Rav Rabbi Yitzchak. So what's the question? Again, they're following the same line of thinking, namely, which is more mekel, avelus or nida. Now everybody knows that nida is kares, and that avelus is either drabanan or certainly more kal. So do you really need a raya from here, right? You know that avelus is more kal. The answer is no. The Gemara's thinking, Avraham, that was. And maybe sometimes we find the phenomenon, especially when it comes to our chakos, that dafka, things that are more kal, require greater chizuk. Right? You need chachamim, hichmiru, dafka b'makom, akula. So what the Gemara is trying to prove here is, even lest you think that the answer is that because, it is more kal, therefore it needs more chizuk, we see, even in the Hanhagos, that we're less machmir in the context of Avelus than we are in the context of Nida. Yeah, go ahead. So initially, the Gemara wants to distinguish between what? What's that?
If it's his Avelus, then that's his.
You need more chumras. We trust him less than we trust her. Okay, that's an interesting phenomenon, right? What's that based on? Yeah, in general, right, it's not. In general, we find this phenomenon. Okay, well, we'll discuss it a little more, but, right, okay, good. Go ahead. Right, Ein Adam, what is it, Yachal Lachuf Es Yitzro, whatever. Okay, that's the Gemara's initial idea. Go ahead. So that doesn't help you so much. Ashar, the other things, but not this thing. Go ahead. Wow. So what's the Gemara saying?
See that they have, regardless of whether it's the father or the mother, stuff that would be no equal to giving them avails.
Yeah, so again, this is a very fascinating Havamina. We'll talk about it again. We're not going to get too involved in all these things, but just a little bit. The Havamina seems to be that when the Gemara says that each spouse, right, should follow the Avelus of the other, right, that they think that it's a direct, either they think it's a direct din of Avelus, that you lose your mother-in-law, it's like losing your mother, you lose your father-in-law, or enough, sufficiently at least, which is a remarkable Havamina, right? It's one thing to say, chasni kibni or chosni, ka'avi, or on the female side, but ad kedei kach, that, really there's direct chiyuv avelus. Wow. How far would you take that even as a Havamina? As opposed to saying what? That it's more out of, number one, that it's a different level. It's a step removed, even though there could still be dine avelus. But the idea that it would be the exact equivalent is shocking. Or that it's, as you just said, more out of, you're not an avelus, you're participating in the avelus of your spouse as a matter of respect for her, and by extension, the relationship that you had. It could just purely be, well, it'll go in the opposite direction. Havamina is, that you've developed this direct relationship with your father-in-law, mother-in-law, etc. And mimela, it's like a father and a mother. That's a Havamina. And we'll soon see in the Maskana that, or the alternative, is the opposite alternative as well. It's not your father, it's not your mother. And it's purely out of respect or being mishpate fitzara with your wife. There's an in-between status, which I'm going to suggest when we take a little bit of a foray into this, and that is that in the context of your relationship with your wife, right, there is also an aspect of your mother-in-law and father-in-law, you know, being your mother and your father. But it's in the context of that and in the framework of that. Okay. That's a kind of a subtle in-between suggestion. Okay, let's continue. Tani? Okay, so this goes to a little bit to what we were just saying, namely, in what way? So the Gemara is saying, no, there isn't such a din that when your, you know, spouse's parent dies, that you're directly, you know, sitting as an avel, you know, ki'ilu, it's your parent or whatever. But on the contrary, it's a dinin, v'apa, neho gavelusa. Namely, when you're in the presence of the avel, that you have that din. So then we have to investigate a little bit, is that only for spouses, right? Which the plural of which is not spice, but spouses. I always say spice, but it's not true. Is that limited to spouses, which would apply also to other avelin, right? And again, does that demonstrate 100% that it's only, you know, out of kavod, you know, for the avel, or is what I suggested still possible? Namely, it's still in that framework and in that context. That's when you express also the more direct relationship. Okay, so that's Pagnogai Velusa. We don't do Ba'apanahog Ve'Velusa anymore. It got to the point, that's what the Poskin point, the Rishonim already pointed out, and then later the Poskin, they said basically, you know, it's a wonderful idea, right? Both in terms of, not on both levels of what we're talking about, both in terms of, you know, identifying with the Tsar, you know, it's Balki Ishto Ishto Kebal, so, you know, that's an amazing expression of that. Moreover, you know, again, this idea of the merging of the families and truly a relationship with, you know, with a father-in-law and a mother-in-law and so on, it's an amazing idea. So it's very appealing. And if it would apply to other Avelin, we'd have to talk about it as well. But what happened was, you know, as, you know, family size, you know, and relationships, you know, increased, so it became impossible to implement this halacha. Because people were just sitting shiva all the time and, like, they couldn't be part of productive, you know, society. Unfortunately, especially if you extend it, then, you know, it becomes ma'isim shebichol yom. It became very prohibitive. That's an interesting phenomenon itself. We'll talk about it very briefly. Okay. Ravashi? Oh, now we get to a bit of the punchline. Go ahead.
Ravashi, Aramika, Samitamita, Avelusa, Dahaka, Avelusa, Dahama. Avelus, Dahama, Kamir, Ravashi,
So what's that?
I'm saying he's rejecting the premise of the earlier question that the fact that you have this case of what the wife can do for the husband would be problematic with our case of Chasen Avel.
Chasen Avel, shiny. Now the question here to raise is Chasen Avel, therefore you have to be more machmir, dafkan Chasen Avel, because you've already made some kulas, you're machnisin also, you know, the meis lecheder, and you proceeded with the chuppah, so maybe that spills over into the quality of the avelus as well. So again, the pashtus, this is a psychological and an extraneous kind of halacha, meaning no one is you don't have to read the Gemara the way I'm going to suggest that you might read it, you know, and you can just say that what it means is, again, you know, you've already, you know, pushed the envelope here for good reason, because you had other pressures and the halacha wants you to do what you did, right? But as a result, it makes more challenging, you know, maintaining the standards of the avelus when it applies. Okay. Another possibility is that this is also a reflection of a halachic truth. Now, it's not just that psychologically you relate to it this way, but, you know, having delayed the chuppah, I'm sorry, having delayed the, you know, the kvura, and therefore the onset of the avelus, you know, as a result of the chuppah, chasen avel, maybe because even when you get to the Shivas Dinei Avelos, the fact that they didn't happen immediately, you know, does reflect a different, you know, dimension of a different kalos of Avelos, maybe. And therefore, again, either way, in terms of what the Gemara is saying, it's the same, meaning psychologically, we need to be mechazik that. But is it really true that a delayed Shiva is qualitatively a different Shiva, in terms of the psychological process that you're, and halachic process that you're going through, both in terms of absorbing the loss and you know, the proper way and the proper you know, timing of reconnecting with life? Is that different in a case where you have, you know, an immediate kvura and also an immediate connection between the kvura and the Shiva, as opposed to one where you have a hapsik? Yeah.
Unless the person is very, very halakhically oriented, isn't the kasha of the Gemara proving Rebbe's second mahalak? If we're pushing off the kvura,
yeah,
the Gemara wants to indicate that wouldn't necessarily be considered a kvura, because the Avelos hadn't begun yet.
Right.
From a psychological perspective, if you're putting the mace into a room and then going off to get married, that probably will have the same psychological effect of putting aside the mace and being mostly being very simple instead of anidos and Avelos. The Gemara seems to take a very halakhic approach in that. Once you're making all in the dinim of Avelos that were already chal, that should be considered a kula that was possibly to do with it. So doesn't that prove Rebbe's second reading?
I don't know if it proves it, but I think it does point that direction. We'll see. Okay. So then Gemara says, final good line. Go ahead. My kula. Ooh, ah. This is good. Right? Not good? Am I making too much of it? Am I putting exclamation points in your... Or you agree?
I agree.
Okay, so explain. What's the Gemara saying? This is a kula? I mean, what's a kula? Wouldn't all of us in the room have thought that being machnis is a meis l'cheder and, you know, going ahead with the simchas chasen v'kala, not just the wedding, right, with all the dancing and the... I came in here, I thought I was hearing music. Thought maybe somebody else got engaged. Yeah, right? We could still celebrate. I mean, Simcha is a big one. But, I mean, all that going on, that's not a kula. And then, you know, we're pushing off Avelos, you know, as well. So the Gemara says, what do you mean a kula? Ilema, bold bilis mitzvah porish, that's mishum dolachala, all of Avelos. Okay, that's a very halachic point of view, correct? But it also works much better according to which Rishon? Kind of time?
Yeah.
It works much better according to the Rambam than it does according to the Ramban. That's one of the things we're going to discuss, right? Because according to the Rambam, this is a great line. Maybe one of his Makoros. Right. It's a very halachic line, and it's a halachically accurate line for the Rambam. Right? Namely, there is no... What do you mean, Porish B.S. Mitzvah? Bol B.S. Mitzvah Porish is not an issue with Aninos. That seems to be what the Gemara is saying. That's not a kula. I psychology? Right? Psychology... I wouldn't say don't give me psychology. What I would say is, like Robbie's saying. Robbie, how would you say it? Not don't give me psychology, but psychology here follows halacha. Right? Okay. So, good. Right, Ilar Abelazar, go ahead. Eliezer, rather. Achistamagola. Right, these are, you know, the different views of when, what triggers Avelos. Go ahead. Ella? Ah, so that's interesting. So number one, the Gemara seems to conclude here that the heter of Tashmish Amita, you know, the Zman Aninus, right, is not a kula. The question is, how does the Ramban and the Rishonim who agree with him, how do they read this line in the Gemara? Okay, that's A. B, what about the second part? Ella, okay, there is a kula, and that is Noeg Shivas Yimei Mishta, V'acharkach Noeg Shivas Yimei Avelos. So what do they mean by that? That's a kula? Why? I mean, once you might have said the same kind of a thing. Once you allow for the chuppah to happen, it's not automatically, this goes back to a question we asked to begin with, right? We asked, good, fine, you need to do, or you justify doing, you know, machnisin es ames lecheder, and delaying the kvura a little bit. But once you've done the kvura, how do you know that that doesn't trigger the shiva simei avelus, right? What about that? So here, so you might have said, well, it's automatic. Once you have the, just like, you know, once you have, just like you have a kvura that triggers an avelus, so too you have a, all things being equal, you have a chuppah which triggers shiva simei hamishta. The Gemara seems to say that at least relative to the question of het, of iser tashmish amita b'shas aninos, right, that being noeg shiva simei hamishta v'achakach noeg shiva simei avelus, that really is a kula. And the question is, why? Why that qualitative difference? Okay, we're going to stop here. So we've done so far is survey the Gemara. We've put our finger on some of the issues, both Avelos, Nisuin, and the convergence of the two. And what we want to pick up with on Monday is we'll start with the question of the Machlokas Rambam and Ramban about Aninus and Avelos, to try to answer Tosis's, you know, question. Then how could it be, if you don't all like the Rambam, right? If you don't like the Rambam, you have two questions. Number one, how to read the end of the Gemara, and number two, how to understand the decision, the halakhic decision, right, to allow Tashmi Shamita Bizman Aninus, and not seemingly, rather than, or maybe not at all, Bizman Avelus. So that's what we're going to pick up with, to speak about the relationship between Aninus and Avelus and various things, and how it expressed itself here. The Ramban, the Rambam, and the Ritva in particular. Hi, how are you?
Actually, I had before the last meeting.
But what was the thing about?
Oh, we were just doing bar until like. That was very coming early.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
I approve.
Maybe I missed something. Yeah, we, like, you know, next time we're going to keep going. I don't know if I want Rebbe to get on.
It's okay to sit back. I just didn't want to feel that I played singing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, you know, oh my, here we have to stop thinking.
Rabbit, yeah.
Yeah, I felt a little bad. Like I was thinking, maybe I should wait outside. I was afraid to start another song. And, you know, like,
oh yeah, for sure.
Wait.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever would have stopped, but keep going.
But I'm glad we have that kind of spiritual spirit. However, as long as also makes itself in the vegan of the.
Oh,
which we know about.